For a lot of the pain that we try to suppress, it will come out in different ways. It might turn into maladaptive behaviors where it comes out in interpersonal relationships. Can resilience be built? And one of the things that I talk about in my book is making peace with our upbringing, because the culture of scarcity, there isn't enough, therefore I'm going to hoard. And the culture of unworthiness, because at the root of it, I don't feel enough. And it may look different for everyone. And it's not ours to compare, right? Because everyone has their own journey.
Welcome to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast, where we meet the world's top experts to explore the secrets of health, mindset, longevity, and so much more. Are you ready to take charge of your existence and biohack your life? This show is for you. Please keep in mind, we're not dispensing medical advice and are not responsible for any outcomes you may experience from implementing the tactics lying herein. Are you ready? Let's do this. Welcome back to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. Oh my goodness, friends, you are in for an incredible, empowering, encouraging episode today with Dr. Bushin. Her book is honestly something that I've been sharing the insights from it with so many people, because basically, sometimes life sucks. So what do you do about that? Especially when it comes to pursuing our life's dreams, achieving our goals, doing all the things. How do we properly handle our limits? How do we instill boundaries? Is pain actually a necessary part of life? We talk about that. We basically just talk about how things can suck. So now what? You'll learn all about the bounce factor, whether or not you actually need to be resilient in everything. And we touch on things like privilege and entitlement. It is truly such an incredible conversation, and I can't wait to hear what you guys think. There will be two episode giveaways for this episode. One will be in my Facebook group, IF Biohackers, Intermittent Fasting plus Real Foods plus Life. Comment something you learned or something that resonated with you on the pinned post to enter to win something that I love. And then check out my Instagram, find the Friday announcement post, and again, comment there to enter to win something that I love. There will be a full transcript as well as links to everything that we talked about in the show notes. Those will be at melanieavalon.com/thatsucked. Hey friends, did you know that one of our largest sources of toxic exposure each and every day is through our skincare and makeup? It is so frightening the effects these compounds can have on our health. So we put these products on to help us look better, and yet they actually can be aging us, contributing to health issues, fertility issues, thyroid issues, mood issues, and ready for something potentially even more shocking? A lot of these endocrine disruptors are actually obesogens, meaning they cause your body to gain weight and make it harder to lose weight. That's right, your skincare and makeup may be hindering your weight loss goals. Europe has banned thousands of these compounds, and the US has banned around a dozen. There's even a loophole from the 1960s that allows companies to put whatever they want in their products, and they don't even have to tell you. That's why I am overwhelmingly careful about the skincare and makeup that I use. But here's the thing, it can be hard to find skincare and makeup that is non-toxic and actually works. And then on top of that, that actually has all the products you need. I have found two companies, I am obsessed with their standards and use them every single day of my life and cannot recommend them enough. That's Counter, formerly known as Beauty Counter, and Crunchy. Both of these companies have incredible standards when it comes to what they put in their products. You can truly feel good about using them, and they actually work. For Counter products, go to melanieavalon.com/counter. And for Crunchy products, go to crunchy.com. That's crunchy.com/melanieavalon. New Crunchy customers can use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 to get 10% off. You'll also receive something special from me after your first order. I also highly recommend joining both of their loyalty programs. It's completely free to join, and with every purchase, you'll earn credit as well as other fun goodies. For all the latest updates, new products, specials, deals, and fun things for me, because yes, I love giving things away, get on my email list. That's at melanieavalon.com/cleanbeauty. You can also get text updates when you text skincare to 877-861-8318. That's skincare to 877-861-8318. So again, to shop with me and get a free gift from me after your first order, go to melanieavalon.com/counter and also crunchy.com/melanieavalon. And new customers, use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 at Crunchy to get 10% off site-wide. And again, definitely join their free loyalty programs to earn credit on every order. Hey friends, exciting news. My Avalon X Spirulina is back in stock and now at a reduced price. Plus you get free shipping and my coupon code works on top of that sale price. Spirulina is honestly one of the most nutrient dense things that you can put in your body in a whole foods, easy to eat form. It's a blue-green algae, which is a complete vegan protein packed with an incredible array of nutrients. We are talking 100% of your daily hard-to-get vitamin K, 625% of vitamin B12, over 1,000% of vitamin A, 86% of chromium, 27% of vitamin B2, plus so much more, including iron, GLA, the powerful antioxidant superoxide dismutase, and even glutathione. In fact, spirulina is so uniquely nutritious that it was actually studied by NASA to support the astronauts. I searched high and low to find the very best spirulina out there. Ours comes from a wonderful, sustainable, clean, environmentally friendly production facility in Hawaii. Not Thailand, Hawaii. And then on top of that, we did our own third-party testing for over 70 pesticides, heavy metals, toxins, all the things. This is the cleanest spirulina out there. And with spirulina, you can simplify your supplement routine and support your nutrition in one easy step. The tablets are super versatile. You can swallow them whole, blend them into smoothies, crush them up, or honestly, just eat them like I do. And again, we were out of stock, but now Avalon X Spirulina is finally back in stock at a reduced price, and my coupon code MelanieAvalon works on top of that too. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to avalonx.us/spirulina and use the coupon code MelanieAvalon to get 10% off our new reduced price plus free shipping. That's avalonx.us/spirulina with the coupon code MelanieAvalon. All right, without further ado, please enjoy this wonderful, fabulous conversation with Dr. Bushin. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the show. I am so incredibly excited about the conversation that I am about to have. So the backstory on today's conversation, when I saw the title of the book for this author, doctor that we have here today, I was an immediate yes. I was like, this is just perfect. So the book that we're discussing is called That Sucked, Now What? How to Embrace the Joy in Chaos and Find Magic in the Mess. So like I said, I was an immediate yes, just based on the title alone. And then looking even more into Dr. Nita Bushin's work, I realized that we're in the same sphere. We're talking before this, we have a lot of mutual friends. And then reading her actual book, friends, I have recommended this book to so many people. It really is incredible at just laying it out the way it is as far as sucky things happening in life and what to do when bad things happen and how to really reframe that and take back your power, have resilience, how to really reframe life. And it's interesting. I have one of my really good friends has been going through a lot right now, and I've been telling him he just needs to read this book. I've been sending him like little bits and pieces from it. So I am really excited to dive into all of this today. I have so many questions. Nita, thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, Melanie, what a beautiful intro. Thank you so much. It's been an honor to, you know, write this book and kind of embrace the suck for so many, and I think give people permission to do that. So, and it's happening. So thank you. I appreciate the kind words.
I love it. And one of the things you say early on in the book, you say something about how it's not always going to be okay. And that's okay. And that's just like so freeing. And I've had so many moments since reading your book where little things have happened, sucky moments. And the immediate thing I think now is, well, that sucked. Now what? Like, it's a really great, really great reframe.
Right. It's literally a mantra that I did this event for 300 women in June in one of my companies. And it was, I'm like, all right, I'm going to just give you the mantra and here it is. And we're going to keep it simple. And it's that sucked, now what? And let's repeat it. And now, you know, dance to your own vibe, do whatever it is, shake it out, scream, whatever. And so it just became, and I had so many people that, you know, came up to me afterwards and they're like, yeah, you just kept it so simple. Why couldn't I just do that? I'm like, well, here it is. So there you go. Little hack.
Also, side note, I watched Pixar's Inside Out this week based on your recommendation in the book. It was It was so amazing. But in any case, so to start things off, I imagine a lot of my listeners are probably familiar with your work, but I was wondering if you could tell listeners a little bit about your personal journey. And I actually already have a question related to your personal journey, which is, well, you'll tell it now a little bit. And if listeners read the book, they'll hear some more. You've been through a lot. And so reading it really puts things in perspective. And you also make a comment in the book at some point about how, you know, we shouldn't play the other people have it worse game. So my two-part question is, I would love to hear about your personal story. And also, how would you like that to land with people? Like, do we play the comparison game, or how should we interpret your story?
Oh, wow. Yes. Well, I have had some very sucky moments for me to have this honor and badge to actually write this book, because it's been quite the journey. And honestly, the unraveling of it didn't actually begin, honestly, until I wanted to become a mother for, you know, the first time. And I tell this story in the book, and it's the last chapter of the book, believe it or not, it's the last chapter of the book. And because of my upbringing, and I'll get into that in a moment, and all of the things that, you know, we all go through, we all have trauma, you know, big T trauma, little T trauma. And we all have, you know, certain things that may happen, whether it's being bullied at school or, you know, the first heartbreak. And for me, I wanted to do things a little bit differently for me, you know, getting into my walk with motherhood. And so I wanted to, you know, I was living in LA at the time, and finally with my partner, and I haven't told the story very much, but I wanted to do everything natural. And this was kind of like the, I was like vowing to do it. I come from a background of, you know, Indian and Filipino lineage where, you know, they vow themselves on like doctors know everything. And so I had to convince not only my partner, who's also from India, but then his whole family, my whole family, that we were going to do like the natural thing. And we were living in LA and we thought it was like the coolest thing. And, you know, the latest way to have a baby, and the birth doulas and the midwives and everything. And I wanted to visualize my way to a perfect orgasmic, you know, incredible birth, and literally did a whole PhD, might as well have been a PhD, you know, research on all of the ways and the supplements and, you know, the X, the Y, the Z, and everything. And I had my birth altar. I had all the, you know, manifestations, what, you know, his hair was going to look like, his eyes, like everything. And I even had like pictures. So you can imagine all of these things like up on my altar. When it led up to the week of my birth, and I'm doing, you know, I have all of these like amazing classes and the love making, because you're supposed to be extra, you know, TMI, but gooey and juicy. And if you're, you know, in the zone of love making, then the baby's going to, you know, actually naturally come out, and I'll have a beautiful water birth like I've always envisioned. And so, well, as probably, you know, the title of my book would go, that is not what happened. And my story would take a completely different journey. I went into labor on a Monday, and I didn't have him that night. I went into what's called a prodromal labor, which means that mammals actually do this. They'll go into labor at night, but then they'll stop laboring in the morning. And I was never told this. This was never a thing. So it was not one of the things I researched, by the way. And I have a background as a cosmetic dentist. And so I'm like, okay, well, the contractions are coming, but they never progressed. So that was Monday. Tuesday, same thing happened. Wednesday, now my midwives are like worried. They're like, okay, why isn't she progressing? Well, Wednesday, my in-laws from India would come to the US for the very, very first time. Very, very first time. And I go into immediate like good girl mode, like wanting to, and people pleasing mode. And this literally has been a pattern, a maladaptive pattern of mine for years. And we'll get into why. And so, and all of a sudden I go into, oh my gosh, I want to make sure they're okay. I want to make sure everyone's okay. And I was pouring my energy outward instead of like literally focusing in on my experience with the three of us, kind of like how I envisioned it and imagined it. That wasn't the case. And then coming up to then Thursday night when we're, you know, doing the vibrators and the bouncing balls. And if you've never had kids before, you're like, what the heck is she talking about? This is so out there, wacky, woo-woos. Like, where have I landed? It gets even better and worse all at the same time. And I had a body worker who literally would come because, you know, it's the LA thing to do. And he came at 3 a.m. to help release some of the really tight muscles around my lower abdomen so that the baby could descend and so that I can blossom and open and have this baby. Well, none of it was working. Sciatica pains all up my legs. And I literally said, I am done. I've met my edge. I've met my like ayahuasca, my spiritual experience. Like I surrender. I'm okay. And then my birth team and my husband's like, but honey, you had told us at this exact moment, if you were to surrender like this, to say, keep on going. And yeah. So I'm like, no, really. I'm like, I'm like pulling the curtain, pressing the red button, let me out of the escape room. Like I am like, let's go to the hospital right now. Well, my backup OB would not be at Santa Monica Hospital that day. They would be at Compton, the Martin Luther King Jr. Hospital in Compton. And shout out to those of you who know exactly what and where and how Compton has been put on the map. It's probably not the safest neighborhood. And we get to the hospital. And this is where I started to have heart palpitations and my anxiety rose. And now I'm starting to feel the contractions even worse. And this is because I vowed for decades that I would never enter a hospital room. After losing my mom, my dad, and my brother through different medical diseases at 16, my mom died of breast cancer at 17, my brother died of an asthma attack, and at 19, my dad would die of stage 4 lung cancer. So hospitals and me would never meet, and I would do everything in my power, in my full control, if I could actually control it, to never set foot in a hospital again, that I would work out and have the most amazing supplements and workout routines and all of the things. And I had worked so hard in all of the ways to make sure I would not face what I actually needed to face. And that was that life could be born in this amazing, chaotic place. And I would reframe this place where so much loss had happened, so much grief had happened, and now redefine what it could mean to be a mother and actually mothering myself. And so there I go into not just one, the security guard chamber where you have like the metal detectors, not 2, but 3 metal detectors. And I get into my beautiful oasis of, you know, it wasn't water birth. It wasn't a singing, chanting birth, but it was everything that I needed to birth my baby boy and to reconcile all of the feelings, the duality of the hard and the soft and the grief and the joy and the pain and the excitement and the magic of just letting go and surrendering. And so that began this journey of really fully reconciling a lot of the feelings that I had buried in those 2 decades of me growing up and having encountered so much loss. And not only that, but also the toxic relationships and the abusive relationship that I would actually get into that would spark my own awakening in so many ways. And having my baby came full circle in reckoning, what are some of those feelings and emotions I still had? I wasn't okay with my own rage that I couldn't control, that my dad was diagnosed after losing 2 members of my family 2 years before that, because I had, you know, deep, you know, postpartum depression. And so that was where I wanted to really focus my attention. I had already written the book, Emotional Grit. I had already written a few other books in the coaching space, but I really wanted to help others and make it fun. You know, that like through my grief, I had found slivers of joy, not so many moments of it, but slivers. And so much so that I wanted to make this punchy and give frameworks that have fully come full circle. And it wouldn't have been possible if I didn't go through this, you know, wild reckoning of, you know, and reclaiming myself, of allowing myself to be mothered by, you know, a system that I had thought failed my family. Here we are. And your question, and such a beautiful question, Melanie, you ask around, you know, the comparison of stories. And I say, you know, like I said, big T trauma, little T traumas, we have our own stories. And I'm grateful for the experience that I had. And I also know that now with the, you know, the deep deeps of our sorrow, the deep deeps of our grief. And if some of you are going through different identity walks or different shifts, maybe a breakup, you know, a shift in health, a business endeavor, a new project, there are going to be those tough moments. And it goes without a doubt, right? It's like when we get enter that next level of who we're becoming, who we are, this is, you know, our growth edges and expanding to what is uncomfortable and going to that hospital. Like I have met other women who would just allow themselves because of their own ego or their own fears, not surrender to the moment, to whatever the pain is. And of course, for me, it was like visceral pain, but it was also psychological and deep rooted trauma, fear that I had to literally face head on. And I had to reframe that in that initial second of entering that hospital of like, this is the place that's going to bring forth life. And I am going to reframe that full circle. And so I think accepting our journey as our own in the messy, chaotic ways and understanding the gifts and the deep messaging behind it. And if it's, you know, and it may look different for everyone and it's not ours to compare, right? Because everyone has their own journey and this is mine. And so thank you for asking that.
Hey friends, I'm about to tell you how to get 10% off the ideal coffee when it comes to supporting your health. So if you guys know me, you know I am obsessed with optimizing basically everything I consume, and that especially relates to coffee. Did you know that coffee is one of the most powerful sources of antioxidants in the modern diet? And yet, not all coffee is created equal. Between sourcing, farming practices, roasting, and contaminants, there can be a huge difference in the health impact of the coffee that you drink. That is exactly why I created Glow Coffee. Glow Coffee is a premium, specialty-grade Arabica coffee sourced from sustainable women-led farms in Colombia. It's organically grown, and we third-party test it meticulously, like every single lot, for purity. And what makes Glow especially exciting from a biohacking perspective is that we specifically made it to be rich in chlorogenic acid, or CGA. That's one of coffee's primary, most potent antioxidant compounds that has been studied for its role in metabolic health, inflammation, oxidative stress, and so much more. The elevation levels of the beans, how they're grown, and how they're roasted all affect CGA levels. So we searched high and low to find the perfect beans naturally high in CGA and tested them to confirm that, and then we roast those beans to preserve the CGA content. And then test after that as well. Coffee is already one of the potentially biggest contributors of antioxidants in the human diet, so I designed Glow Coffee to maximize those benefits while keeping it incredibly clean and high quality. And this coffee is so clean. It's grown organically, of course, but then we go even farther than that. We third-party test the beans for almost 100 toxic compounds, including pesticides, heavy metals, and mold. Oh, and perhaps the best part is it is absolutely delicious. We're talking smooth, low bitterness. It's honestly the exact coffee I personally want to drink every single day of my life. It's so bright, smooth, and delicious that it's also perfect black for fasting. No added sweeteners or cream needed. You can also splash it on your face for an antioxidant-rich toner. I do that every single day. After the sauna, after the shower, all the things. I created Glow Coffee because it's really about upgrading one of our most common daily habits into something that truly supports your health and performance. You can get 10% off with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at glowcoffeeco.com. That's 10% off Glow Coffee with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at glowcoffeeco.com. Are you ready to glow inside and out? Fuel your day, illuminate your way. That's glowcoffeeco.com.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And when I read the book and read that chapter, I viscerally was shuddering just thinking of that experience, of that whole birthing experience. But it's so incredible how, you know, what came from it and everything that you just shared, and this framework now that, you know, that you can bring to people. Okay, I have so many questions from that. So one is, I had a conversation back in 10th grade that I will not forget. I went to this like an evangelical Christian school, so it was in Bible class, and we had this massively long debate about whether or not pain and suffering was required in, like, for the human experience in order for life, I guess, to be better. Like, was it required? So my question is, because like you made a comment about how, you know, certain things wouldn't have been possible if you hadn't gone through these, you know, really tragic things. Is pain and sucky moments required as a catalyst for something better in life or for a change, or is it not? And then the second part of that would be, does every painful moment have like the potential for magic and change, or are some things just bad and they're just bad, like the end?
Mm. Yes. Oh, yes. So, gosh, I love this. And wow, you know, it's a great question from the 10th grade. And I feel like I used to grapple with this so much. And I used to like hate that was my story as a teenager, because I feel like those were some of the books that I also read when I was a teenager, going through seeing my mom in the ICU for about 5 years in and out of the hospital, and then going through, you know, such a public loss of losing my brother. And I mean public because we went to two different high schools, and literally because his death was so unusual. He was completely healthy, and it was immediately a year after my mom died. And I was a junior, I was a senior in high school. He was a sophomore. And our high schools were kind of rival. They were across the street from each other. And so it just shook our community, you know, that a young life could be lost, but B, that this was like just out of the blue. And so there was so much that I had to be okay grappling with, of like, you know, the anger or the rage that I didn't, there was nothing that I could do, and nowhere to actually even keep those emotions. So I had to suppress it. I became the one that bypasses. And there was no words for it at that time, but I had to, quote unquote, be the strong one. And I know that many of us probably grew up thinking that. Many of us grew up probably thinking like, oh, you're the oldest, you know, or why can't you be more like this person? Or why can't you be more like these ideas of, well, he's now, and of course they would always say like, now he's now with your mom. He's now with your mom. And I totally believe that, because they were so close. They were two peas in a pod. I was always jealous of their relationship. And he was like the younger brother, like he was the middle child. But I do spiritually believe that they are together. And I feel as though for a lot of the pain that we try to suppress, it will come out in different ways. And it may come out in different ways years later, decades later. It might turn into maladaptive behaviors where it comes out in interpersonal relationships. There's a reason why I had codependent patterns in my 20s, and it got me into these toxic relationships. It's because I didn't have a tool or know even how to process some of these emotions that then didn't make me want to actually even go to school, because I didn't want to be the one that stood out, because, you know, people don't have languaging like that. Young people, you know, in high school, we all just want to fit in. We all just want to belong. We all just want to, you know, be understood. And that was not the case for me. And I just thought that if I work harder, and if I, you know, I grew up with a, you know, Indian father and a Filipino mother. So it's very much like Asian tiger parenting. So it was like, you're going through this massive chaos, but it's like, focus on school, focus on getting straight A's, because that is going to be your ticket out of whatever the pain that you're actually going through now. And that's literally what I believed, that, okay, this is the hard stuff now. And this hard stuff is fucking hard, but we're going to get through it. And so what do you have to do? Become a doctor, dentist, lawyer, engineer. That's the path. And that was the path I literally took. I didn't know any other choice. And for, you know, going back and now meeting so many people who, and I also share this in the book, but in 2016, when moms in the Bay Area had got a hold of, you know, one of my pieces of work, my very first book. And this is the Bay Area. This is, you know, the head of the tech industry, you know, where Palo Alto is, Silicon Valley, et cetera. And I got a call, and this was when I had, you know, just recently transitioned. I had probably given a talk to Google, not, you know, probably around in the same time frame. And this group of moms had called me to come and speak to their group at this, you know, at this school in the Bay Area. And I'm like, why are they calling me to have this chat, you know, around emotional health? And I'm like, I'm not a mom. I wrote this book, but okay, I'll go there. And the first question they asked is, you know, given someone who had lost so much loss and been through as much as what you had gone through, can you give us advice? Because here in our community, we just lost three people, three of our teenagers to suicide. I made a choice in that day, and they had asked, you know, can resilience be built? And one of the things that I talk about in my book is making peace with our upbringing, because so often, you know, we either are growing up with helicopter hovering parents who don't let us do anything, who don't let us make a mistake, who, you know, we want to go far away from pain, and we don't want to get our, you know, our fingers dirty and roll up, you know, we're rolling up our sleeves, and we don't want to have dirt in our fingernails. And then we have this fall, like our first rejection from a college or first rejection from a first love, and we don't know how to handle it, or a first troll on social media, because we haven't built the muscle fibers to withstand those falls, because we're trying to avoid pain, because somebody is actually saying, nope, I've got this for you. I got this. I'm going to do this for you. And having gone through such a deep, visceral journey, that breakdown is so pivotal, because it is through that breakdown, you know, where we break through. It's through the feeling, the going and understanding, okay, the pain of that heartbreak, to actually reconcile and integrate how we are now going to move forward and what are we going to take into our next relationship. And is that going to make us better or worse for our next friendship if we had been betrayed by a girlfriend in the past, or an abusive co-working environment, or a boss and or a business failure and situation? And for these teenagers, it wasn't the case. They pretty much grew up with everything on a silver platter, right? You know, the best schools, probably a ton of pressure, and that wasn't the case for them. And so it was the beginning of the start of teaching mothers, people, high achieving people, that the pain also comes with the joy, and it's embracing the duality of both. We're so afraid of getting into the mess. We're so afraid of getting entangled in the journey and not having it, you know, be a certain way or perfect, that we're afraid of the uncertainty. But it's through that uncertainty, if we embrace it, that's where grace is. That's where that compassion is. And that's where, you know, I'm even redefining the word resilience to not just be strong. Heck, I was fucking strong, you know, for the first two decades of my life. So much so that I got into a very toxic relationship because my worth was on this other person, to define my self-worth. And then it was a journey to untangle that and figure out what my maladaptive behaviors were growing up, what I needed, because abandonment was such a huge string for me, that I was willing to take whatever anyone was going to treat me as, because I didn't believe in myself and I would really abandon myself, just like how I felt abandoned in that wound of all of my losses. And so, but that takes deep, deep introspection. And that's one of the threads that I talk about in, you know, part two of the book, in building your bounce factor. You know, it's such a beautiful concept. And oftentimes we think we know, you know, certain aspects of ourself, but then we see years and years of patterning and years of perhaps maybe dysfunction or years and years of things that didn't go our way. And so sometimes we get stuck in our suck where we feel like we can't get out of it.
So many things here. And, you know, speaking of defining and redefining resilience, okay, I have a really big question here based on a little nuance in my life. Because you were talking about how, you know, we think resilience is this big, strong thing. Like we have like this idealized, I think, view of what it looks like. And you talk in the book about the pitfalls of comparing it to heroes and these grand ideas and, you know, how it's not necessarily that. Does it also involve where you want to be resilient? And what I mean by that is there are some things that I can just objectively say I'm not resilient with, but I also don't feel the need to be resilient there. So my example is I'm not really good with the outdoors. Like I like air conditioning and I like, you know, being inside and I like night events. And so it's even to the extent I'm like the, like my sister, for example, is like climbing the mountains and like doing all the things. And so I always think like, oh, she's so resilient, like in the outdoors.
You're like my husband. We've been a Burning Man and he's like, I don't know if I'd do that again.
Hi friends. Would you like to have the most epic eating experience? I'm talking eradicate bloating and better absorb your nutrients. If so, you need digestive enzymes. These are one of my most favorite supplements out of everything I take, and I truly cannot imagine my life without them. Digestive enzymes are key to break down your food into usable nutrition and to stop things like bloating, digestive distress, constipation, all the things. That's why I created Avalon X Digest, and you can get 10% off with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at avalonx.us. You can also get a subscription and save 15%, which you can pause or cancel at any time. Friends, I worked so hard to create the perfect blend of enzymes for Avalon X Digest. It's a full spectrum plant-based enzyme blend with proteases to help you break down protein, amylase for carbs, lipase for fats, cellulase for fiber, and so much more. In fact, there are 13 different types of enzymes in this blend. I cannot tell you how many people have told me that when they take Avalon X Digest, they experience no digestive distress with meals. These are truly game changers. And for any of you guys looking to up your protein intake, Avalon X Digest will help you actually break down and assimilate your protein so you get more protein from your meals. I wanted to create the highest potency enzymes so that you get all of these benefits when you eat with no problematic fillers or ingredients. Avalon X Digest is also tested multiple times for purity and potency, comes in glass bottles, and is truly the best enzymes on the market. And again, you can get 10% off with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at avalonx.us.
Oh yeah. No, it's literally to the point. And I thought about your book and this happened 2 days ago. I went to see Wicked at the Fox. It was the touring Broadway show. And I went to see it here and I was going with a date. And so he texted me beforehand and was like, do you want to, and it's hot here in Atlanta. It's hot. And so he was like, do you want to like meet outside the theater and then go in together? And I was like, no. because I got to have my like first impression in the air conditioning. I got to like go to the bathroom first. I got to like make sure. So I had like no interest in, you know, meeting him outside, waiting for him outside the theater. And I was reflecting on that and I was like, wow, I'm just so not resilient when it comes to the outdoors. But also I have no interest in being outdoors outside the theater. I'd just rather be inside. So my question is, and this probably makes me sound very privileged, which is also something you talk about in the book, but that's a side note. What are your thoughts on where resilient manifests in our life and if we want it there or not? Like,
Yes. Oh, I love that you're bringing this up. You're, you know, out of like 200 shows I've been on, you're the first to ask, what if you don't want it there? And I love that so much because not everyone needs to be resilient in every single area of their life. Like, you know, and that's okay. You know, and I feel like as I'm entering what I like to call my soft girl era, because, you know, shout out to the opposite of having to be strong all the time. I think there's a time and a place, you know, and I think that for me in and for, you know, those of you who I think the original or the mainstream term for resilience is being strong and, you know, being tough as nails and those motivational, you know, hyper glamorized memes of, you know, those top motivation videos circa, you know, Tony Robbins style works for some. I think, you know, my definition of resilience is also to be actually soft and agile and fluid and adaptable to whatever is coming your way. You know, I envision it. The analogy is I love dance and I grew up with dance, and dance was one of the things, movement was one of the things that really honestly saved my mental sanity during a lot of the loss that I had endured. But if you've ever seen trapeze artists or, you know, just ballet dancers, the way that they move on the trapeze, one person going, you know, from bar to bar, they are catching each other's moves. They are bending and flexing in each other's way. They're not breaking, right? Because they're not so tough. They're not so rigid. And I think it's a deeper question to ask oneself is, where do I need to be resilient? If that's not a part of my life, like if I'm not trying to build a business that requires me to, that requires all of me, or if this is just my, like, you know, hot girl summer era where I'm just going to be and I have these standards, and that's totally okay. And that's a personal question to ask. But I think this usually comes up when we're going through sucky moments, when we're actually going through tough moments, to actually say, all right, yeah, being brave and actually saying, I don't want this here, or I don't think I really need it here, and being okay with that.
So like when these moments happen, because they happen more than I would like to admit, in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, it would be nice to be, you know, resilient in that area of my life. But I look at my life energetically and like my energetic buckets, and I'm like, that's just not where I want to put my energy tackling that. I guess maybe it goes to knowing your limits.
Well, and it's part of even the, you know, it's part of our bounce factor. One of the things that I, you know, bring up in the book is if we, you know, if we're not understanding our, you know, our background is one piece, or what didn't go well in the past. And I think a lot of times when we bring this up, you know, this, people usually ask me, well, Neetha, how would you relate this to, you know, dating or even failed like work gigs or things that we were just trying to get off the ground and it's not working? Or maybe you're trying to like get your body in a certain way and certain things that you've been putting such hard effort on, is it working? And one can argue and say, well, you're not trying hard enough. Or another person can kind of say, well, actually, like, is that really what you want? Or is this for some, you know, something or someone else? And then we get into our current environment. And our current environment is your ability to withstand, you know, good stress. And I think that's the thing that, you know, to your question earlier on, well, do we kind of want this pain or do we not? And can we get by without it? Well, I think if you're, for example, wanting to, you know, biohack, go to the gym, lift heavy weights, you're going to have a period of time where, yeah, you're going to break down those muscle fibers in order to stimulate new ones. And there's going to be a period of soreness and recovery. And in that time, that's how we get bigger muscle fibers, right? It's kind of that same token of putting yourself in these, you know, like good stress vibes, whether it's the cold plunge or having a difficult conversation instead of ghosting somebody, or, you know, instead of distancing yourself from a friend who probably said something that you didn't agree with, you're like, actually, let's get on the phone and have a conversation. And those are probably some of the hardest ways to build that muscle, because most people are like, I don't want to do that. That's actually too hard. But is it when you can actually be leaning into a relationship that you want to deepen, or maybe even deepen that relationship with yourself or a loved one instead of actually turning your back?
Tying into that, as far as the way we experience the world and things being hard, and then touching on what I mentioned about the privilege, I love the part in the book, two different big topics, but they relate, that you talked on, which was not being a victim. So like a victim mentality, and also this entitlement mentality that can be pretty pervasive, and also how it compares to privilege, all of that. What is the role of people feeling entitled today, feeling like a victim, personal agency versus agency? What are your thoughts on these topics?
Yeah. Oh gosh. The entitlement trap. That's chapter 3 of my book. And then we go into, you know, the chip on your shoulder that happens when we, you know, are proving ourselves to the world. So here's the thing. I love that you just checked in with your privilege, because I feel like for, you know, so many of us, we're actually privileged to even have this conversation right now, you know, and I remember this vividly. Quite a few years ago, I had somebody on my team that was, you know, in a different part of the world, Eastern Europe, and I was talking about some of these concepts, and they were like, you know, that is not a big problem. And I was like, okay, you're working on this launch. Like, we're in the middle of the launch. This is not the time to bring this up. And I'm like, wow, you know, that person, you know, no longer on my team anymore, but that person back then was bringing up something that I really wasn't aware of. And it was privilege, because that person was living in a part of the world where they're like, it's not even safe to be outside right now. And you're, you know, talking about these conversations. And so I say this because, you know, we're so lucky to be having these conversations, because it's conversations that I know my parents definitely couldn't have. They were, you know, they were assimilating from a different country, and they were trying to keep up with the Joneses. And this was not even on their radar to check in with their mental health or even their emotions. You know, a lot of it was like screaming and yelling. And, you know, I grew up with like phrases like, I'll give you something to cry about, like, you know, or you're resilient, Nita, this is happening because, you know, you're the oldest and you've got this and you're so strong. And I know, you know, for some listening, I'm not the only one, and maybe there's some resonance here. And the chapter that I talk about, you know, privilege versus entitlement. Now, privilege, we already kind of talked about understanding, and there's different kinds, whether it's the race privilege, and most people kind of talk about that. But I'm even talking about, you know, beauty privileges, where you grew up, you know, certain things that you probably had more access to than others. And the idea with entitlement, now I am having a whole different dynamic around entitlement, because I'm asked to speak around entitlement quite a bit. And I have my own kids now, and I have two little ones, and they're toddlers. And, you know, I want to make sure that for my next generation, that we are having open conversations around this. And I think that many times, and I talk about this in the book, that our entitlement trap is usually thinking that there is not enough, that there is a lack mentality in the world. And that because there is not enough, that we are going to compete, and that we are so deserving of, you know, like, I didn't win the first two rounds. And I remember my son, when I was teaching him chess, literally just a couple months ago, and he's like, Mama, you won the first two rounds. Like, I need to win this round. And I'm like, do you really? Like, we've got to earn that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is where we learn entitlement. Because he's 4, and he's like, but that's not fair. You won the first two rounds. And I was like, no, bro. Like, and then he started crying because, you know, mama beat him, but you know, I got a little competitive there. And in the book, you know, page 40, I talk about like entitlement seems logical, right? It's a seductive mindset because it also leans on things needing to be fair.
Hi, friends. I have very exciting news. So I know you guys already know and love Element and understand the importance of electrolytes for hydration, energy, focus, supporting your fasting, your workouts, all the things. Guess what? Element has a product that goes beyond electrolytes. What is it? Well, so I am very pro the benefits of caffeine. I love the cognitive benefits, the longevity benefits. And that said, I am a slow caffeine metabolizer, so I don't actually take in lots of caffeine. I've also learned that the form, dose, and balance of caffeine makes a huge difference in how you actually feel. That's why I am so excited that Element has launched a brand new lemonade iced tea. It's refreshing, delicious, lightly caffeinated, perfect for summer, and what I really love is the science behind it. So instead of relying on massive amounts of isolated synthetic caffeine like so many energy drinks out there do, Element Lemonade Iced Tea uses a full black tea extract, so alongside the caffeine, you naturally get compounds like L-theanine and polyphenols. The L-theanine actually helps smooth out the stimulant effect for a calmer, steadier energy experience with less spikes and crashes, while the polyphenols provide antioxidant support as well. And you guys know I am all about the antioxidants. And the incredible team at Element, including my personal hero, Rob Wolf, conducted a meticulous amount of research to find the perfect amount of caffeine, which is the sweet spot for sustained focus and energy without feeling overstimulated or wrecking your sleep later. That is exactly 50 milligrams of caffeine. On top of that, they knew that caffeine can increase your need for critical minerals like sodium, potassium, and magnesium. So that's why Element Lemonade Iced Tea pairs the perfect amount of caffeine with a meaningful dose of electrolytes to support optimal hydration and performance. And of course, Element Lemonade Iced Tea is completely free of sugar, artificial colors, and all the other stuff that you do not want that are so commonly found in caffeinated drinks today. It's built on the same science-backed electrolyte formula that Element is known for, with sodium, potassium, and magnesium in ratios designed to support hydration and energy production. The result? You get your perfect pack of portable, easy-to-make lemonade iced tea that provides steady, clean energy that tastes delicious and actually feels good. As you guys know, Element is trusted by neuroscientists, functional medicine practitioners, professional athletes, including the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and they're even used by Navy SEALs and the Marines. So are you ready to up your drink level with the ultimate lemonade iced tea? You can get it. And when you get it, get a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase at drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon. That's right, a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase at drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon. Find your favorite flavor or share it with a friend. And by the way, Element has an amazing no questions asked refund policy, so you can try it completely risk-free. If for any reason you're not satisfied, they will give you your money back. Again, go to drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon for a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase, including their new lemonade iced tea.
Well, mama, you won the first two rounds, so I got to win the next round. And entitlement is validating. It's practical. It's focused. But it's also a lack mentality that there's not enough to go around. And it's coming from a place of lack versus when we talk about, you know, manifestation can seem like there's entitlement there if we are focused on the lack. The reason why manifestation works and why we're all so obsessed with it is because if we are tuning to the frequency of abundance, which is a very different energetic frequency than lack. I'm obsessed with this whole conversation because I think that a lot of times we all feel, you know, entitled. There's a whole exercise in the back of this chapter of like, okay, were you entitled when you, you know, wanted to get, you know, cut in the front of the line when you were late to the airport and you had only 20 minutes to check in and, you know, the TSA line was like around the block. okay, you know, feeling entitled, right? When you were trying to get to your appointment at 10 o'clock, but you left the house like 10 minutes late and there was traffic on the highway. And so you decided to drive on the shoulder. And then when the cop pulled you over, you know, maybe gave you a warning. So an entitlement. So it's also checking in with ourselves where those things actually come up and how it is part of this idea of, you know, our ego can play a great role in the victim mindset, and also how we sometimes are fueled by our ego, either to prove ourselves to the world, which is why it kind of goes hand in hand in my chapter around, you need guac for that chip on your shoulder.
So what would the feeling, because when I read that in the book about the entitlement and that the core of it was a sense of lack, so I'm not going to lie, I read that and I was like, is that true? Is that really true? And so then I was like thinking back through times when I have felt entitled or deserving of something. So what would it feel like to deserve something that's not coming from a sense of entitlement? Like, how do you know when you actually do, quote, deserve something?
So when we're talking about entitlement, it's usually the energy behind it, the frequency behind it is coming from a place of fear, right? Fear, lack, that maybe at the end of this, it's a subconscious belief, but it's, I don't deserve, or it's not available to me. When we are thinking of now in abundance, so it's not available to me, so I am going to hoard, I'm going to fight, I'm going to compete for it, I'm going to put somebody else down for it. That's the energy behind it, because there isn't enough. And in my first book, I talk about the three fear cultures, the culture of aversion, right? This isn't enough. The culture of scarcity, there isn't enough, therefore I'm going to hoard. And the culture of unworthiness, because at the root of it, I don't feel enough. So in the culture of aversion, we're going to do everything it takes to avoid shame. So I'm going to keep working hard. And so we're going to cling to whatever that feels, you know, scarce and limited. If we are talking, which is why the discussion of manifestation is so beautiful, and if we are able to tap into the frequency of joy, and these are, you know, our top vibing emotions, right? Joy, abundance, peace, excitement, all of these higher vibing emotions, we can tap into that. Oh yeah, there is enough for everybody. So I'm going to cheer you on, because your success is my success. Because if you win, that means I win. It doesn't mean I'm secretly jealous of you, that you got that promotion and I'm going to talk behind your back, or, you know, whatever the case that, you know, the human emotions that actually happen. No, it's actually like, wow, I'm so excited that you're calling this in, and I want this so badly for you. And, you know, you're cheering the other sister on and you're like, fuck yeah, let's go for it. Let's go for it together. So cheering you higher, and that is definitely the opposite energy of the lack, of the entitlement.
Well, this actually ties into maybe one last thing we can touch on, which it's something I've thought about a lot and felt pretty strongly about. And I got so excited when I read you talk about this in the book, because I was like, somebody else is reframing it this way. Okay, so because I'm very goal-driven and I love achievements and accomplishing things and career and life. And then when I do, then it's time for like the next thing. And I have always really liked that experience. Like, I like accomplishing the benchmark, and then I like raising the bar to the next level, to sound really cliche. But then I also feel like we're often told in society that feeling of achieving something and then feeling like there needs to be more it's couched as a negative, because it's saying like, oh, you thought that you wanted this thing, but really the bar is always just going to keep moving higher and higher. And that's kind of posited as a negative. But I've always seen it as like, Well, it's great. Like I get things. It's kind of like your iPod example. You talk about when the iPods were coming out, you really, really wanted one. You thought it was going to be really amazing. And then you got it and it really was actually amazing. Like it was. But then obviously, you know, we're not using the iPods the way we were back in the day. So now there's something new. So I guess the question, all of that, the meandering is when we're trying to achieve things and we have this moment of achieving them, how should we feel then? Like, is it okay that we're always raising the bar? Where should the end goal be? I'm just really curious your thoughts on all of this.
So I love that. And I mean, I think you already kind of sensed my inner competitive nature there with my 4-year-old. And so I think that, you know, for a lot of the ambitious queens that I have, even in my community, and we have this conversation all the time, I think, you know, the biggest thing that I want to bring back, especially when I'm brought into these circles as well to speak, is what are you doing it for? Is it for, you know, is it your own goals? Is it your own desires? And is it a placeholder for something deeper? Which is, you know, okay, there's no judgment here or there. It's just understanding what is that North Star for you. And, you know, I see the two coins, and I think why, you know, you're bringing this up as it could potentially be a negative. You know, I'm all about ambitions and goals and, you know, boss babe era and slaying it and all of those things. And I also know my tendency is to burn out if I'm not making sure that I'm centering a goal around, if it's a goal that's just, you know, okay, achieve, or is there something else behind it? And I'll give you the example. You know, one of the things, and, you know, this is I shared this kind of recently, but one of the things that I wanted for this book was like all of the biggest titles, right? You know, and to be in, you know, on the billboards, New York Times, you know, Times Square, I mean, you know, all of the things like magazine articles and all of it. And once I achieved it, I was like, oh, okay, wait, like what was that just like a peak experience that I just wanted to have? Or, and some of the things or the DMs coming out at the time when this book was actually launched, like I had lost sight of all of those things because I was just like chasing at the expense of having extreme mom guilt. This is probably one of the first times that I'm, you know, sharing the behind the scenes of my actual book launch, but I had extreme mom guilt and I had extreme shame because my kids were now wanting our caretakers, like our nanny and my husband putting them to sleep over myself. And I was like, oh fuck, like I could be going, okay, yeah, I got things that I wanted. And there were some things that didn't happen that I really wanted. And then when I actually go back into my DMs or, you know, ready to post, but I see the DMs coming through and some of them are like, wow, Neetha, like I was in a toxic relationship for 2 decades. After reading your book, like I just had the courage to leave and you have no idea what you've done for me, you know, or the there's somebody who created those acronyms for my name, navigate each emotion towards acceptance, Neetha.
Oh, wow. Wow. It's next level.
And reading that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm creating this mini movement of people to actually really feel deeply. And while these, you know, accolades are really great, like what I'm actually wanting is not that. I'm wanting the feeling of, all right, this feels complete and it feels like I feel content in this way. And I think many times chasing the outwardly, the goal is just a replacement for what we actually are the emotion that we're actually trying to feel, which is why I go back to, You know, when we're trying to create our manifestation for a partner, or, you know, the who we're calling in, you know, into our life, whether it's a friend, the dream career, or the place that we want to go to, the thing I always ask people is, okay, you want all of these things, but what are those things going to actually, like, what is the emotion that you're actually chasing? Is it joy? Is it happiness? Is it freedom? Is it magic? Is it excitement? Is it, you know, sexual expression, freedom? Like what is it, so that we can tune in and tap into that? And let's see if that actually relates more towards the goals we are actually chasing. Because at the end of the day, all right, another award for this book, you know, is great. But then, you know, then I had to fly to like two other places to, you know, share my story. And then it took away from being with my family. And so it's like making those choices then. And I think aligning it with whatever stage and season it is in your life. Like if it's that stage where you're like, this is my go-getting stage, Neetha, like I get it. And I'm going to go balls to the walls because this is where I'm at. Then great, honor it. And also make sure that you have your own POC, what I like to call in the book, your personal check-in times, personal observation check-in times, where you're like tuning in. Like, is this energizing me right now? Or is this depleting me? Because I'm doing about, you know, a lot of these podcasts, and some of them I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, having this chat with you, Melanie, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But then there are some where I'm like, oh man, you know, like I'm taking away from the bedtime of my kids at the expense of what, right? Or it's taking you away from X. Is that goal really juicy and worthy to you? And what does that actually mean? I think that's the misnomer that so often we forget when we're in the chase. I think the chase is good. The chase gives us purpose. The chase gives us that next evolution of exploring our edge. It's the third thing that I talk about in building your bounce factor. It's your full emotional capacity. But in order to understand your full capacity to feel, we've got to be okay with the fall. We've got to be okay with breaking things. We've got to be okay with the failures, the shit that doesn't work out, because maybe the next thing is going to work out, and the next thing.
Well, speaking of kids, I know you have to go get your kids. I will let you go. The last question I ask every single guest on this show, and it's just because I realize more and more each day how important mindset is. And the thing that I think I really pair when I have this feeling of goal achievement is, do I have gratitude surrounding it? Because I really just love like having a moment and basking in it and just feeling the gratitude to keep it all centered. So what is something that you're grateful for?
I'm grateful I get to have these conversations that are so deep and vulnerable with you and pouring into your audience, and that we were able to, I know that we've been wanting to do this for a really long time, and I'm so grateful that we have finally connected, and what you've been able to build with your audience is just incredible, and it's fabulous, and I can see why, because you are such a thoughtful interviewer, and I'm beyond to now be in your orbit. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. I echo all of that back to you and listeners. We barely touched on anything from the book. Get the book, That Sucked, Now What? And it has a full, like, applicable 5-step process for when you experience these things in life and what that's going to look like and how to really reframe everything. I cannot recommend enough. Everybody get the book. Thank you, Neetha. I'm so, so grateful for your work. I'm so excited that we're connected. Hopefully we can meet when I come to Austin.
Yes, absolutely. Would love that.
You are amazing. Yeah, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Melanie.
Have a good day.
Thank you so much for listening to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. For more information, you can check out my book, What When Wine, Lose Weight and Feel Great with Paleo Style Meals, Intermittent Fasting, and Wine, as well as my blog, MelanieAvalon.com. Feel free to contact me at podcast@MelanieAvalon.com. And always remember, you got this.